Guys, I'm really into things that add more convenience to my life. It's even better when it also comes with safety in a high-quality package. I'm talking about my Eufy Video Lock. I'm still loving this thing. I love this thing so much that I'd like to invest in the company. I am so impressed with this product that I'm willing to back it. And if anyone out there knows how I can do it, please reach out. You gotta check it out for yourself. I'll probably do a quick social post, but for now, just search Eufy Video Lock. Do it online. It's a 3-in-1 smart lock, 2K camera with an audio and doorbell. It's easy to install. It has fingerprint recognition, so I don't even have to remember a code. I can control it all in an app, which again, the convenience is such a big plus for me. We are always on the go, and being able to monitor our home on the road is such a nice option. Not only that, I don't have to rush to the door if the doorbell rings. I can either open the door or ignore whoever's at the door by vetting them through the app. There is no monthly fees for security video storage. The battery is rechargeable, and each charge lasts about 4 months. This Eufy Lock is fantastic, and I highly recommend it. Search Eufy Video Lock online. That's Eufy, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your front door. What's happening, guys? Happy Tuesday, and thank you for joining me with another special episode of Your Welcome. You know, what do you know? UFC 301 is just around the corner. Guys, it's this Saturday. To be exact, it's coming up. Is it 4 days? Four sleeps, as John Anik would say. You know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to tell you all about it. Plus, I'm going to give you an update on Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson. There's big news that just came in, and I'm going to give Brian Ortega the advice he didn't know he needed. But before we get to all of that brilliance, guys, Max Holloway made an appearance on the Joe Rogan program, and it's got me thinking a lot about the featherweights. Let's begin with this. Ilya Topuria, I just haven't seen him miss yet, guys. I haven't seen this guy miss. Now, let me take you back, but I feel like my experience with Topuria is yours. I feel like you'll relate to this. Topuria is Mr. Water Bottle. This is the first time I know anything about Ilya Topuria. He gets into a dust-up with Patty. They end up throwing bottles at each other like they never touched. They were across the room, and it was something verbal, and I don't know how Ilya got in the wheelhouse, but it was a big deal at the time. It was a big deal for a couple of reasons. First off, he got nicknamed Mr. Water Bottle. Now, as condescending as that is, I did not know what an Ilya Topuria was, but neither did you. And I remember I was sitting right here in this chair when this whole thing goes down, and my partner Ryan brings him up on SureDog.com, and this is when we find out he's 12-0. Mr. Water Bottle had never lost. And all of a sudden, it was like the music stopped. We go, wait a minute. You got this dude that's 12-0 is getting to the mix with Patty. And that was the big story on Patty. The bad is the UFC loves him, and he can cut a promo, and he's so fun, and he's so interesting. But don't put him with the guys that are 12-0. Now, I'm not telling you that that narrative has held up, by the way. Patty came out and showed his worth, but I'm just talking about that time. So when we see this in conjunction with the fact that they're different weight classes, it's a total miss. And it's a miss to a degree that, hey, Mr. Water Bottle, you'd better be careful because you are getting in the wheelhouse of a star. And a lot of the guys behind the scenes don't understand this, or they see it as a big opportunity. Now, I love it when they take it. I'm just sharing for you. You're playing with house money, and it can start to be very dangerous. Let me give you an example. There was a 135-pounder. Tattoo on his neck. Allegedly was an MMA fighter with some pretty good hands. And he was one of Uriah Faber's coaches on The Ultimate Fighter. And he decided it was a good idea to get chest-to-chest with the star, Conor McGregor. Now, that dude who was allegedly a fighter and had a tattoo on his neck would have been out of that company so goddamn fast if he put a hand on McGregor. I mean, in the capacity that he could have hurt Conor, right? The only commodity that the fighter has is the performance. If you stop him from performing, you see the problem. And that guy was Cody Garbrandt. Now, this is Cody Garbrandt before he was Cody Garbrandt. I'm sure you guys would love to see Garbrandt versus McGregor now. I'm sharing with you at that time. And while that might be an extreme example, it's an example that you'll be able to relate to. And I am going to make the comparison. I understand that it's a step down, but I am going to make the comparison to when Ilya Topuria, Mr. Waterbottle, decided to get into it with Paddy Plymouth. So, all right, fine. Move the tape along. All of a sudden, there's some opportunity. All of a sudden, you start bringing in some real hammers, right? Josh Emmett's of the world. And Yuri Rodriguez's of the world. Alexander Volkanovsky's of the world. And there was just never a miss. I've never seen Topuria get it wrong. And then once you start establishing him, you start knowing who he is. Like he had a montage in a vignette series building up to his fight with Volkanovsky. And everything about that felt like there was an upset coming, didn't it? And I know the odds makers, and I know Volk was ranked number one, and I know Volk was champion of the world. I remember the whole thing, but everything about it felt like, right, Volk was just coming off of a knockout. He had shared some of the mental side that was bothering him as to why he liked to be busy, but many people were saying, hey, man, you were just knocked out, and it was up a weight class by this great big guy. Like, before you go pull the pounds off and go back down, you might want to put some space between it, but that's not what he wanted. And I just share for you, once he became champion, I'm talking about Topuria, but once he became champion, now what do? And to remind you of that time frame, okay, on Saturday night, Ilya Topuria shocks the featherweight world, becomes champion of the world, okay? 7 days later, Ortega versus Rodriguez part two is scheduled. So nobody says a word. But everybody expects the winner of Ortega versus Rodriguez Part 2 to take that microphone and make themselves the number one contender. And it didn't happen. In fact, Ortega spoke about it. He purposely did not do it. He wanted to show respect to Rodriguez in that moment and not brush him away. He wanted to let Topuria have his 15 minutes. But I do share that with you because now you've got an opening and you don't necessarily have a plan. I mean, that was the plan, right? Do you know the buildup that goes into that? Do you know what it's like to get two guys signed? Do you know what it's like to get them into a main event? Do you know what it's like to go out and have that main event carried out in front of a meaningful audience in a fight that turns out to be great? Like, do you know the things that go? Okay, but that was the plan. So when that didn't happen, what do you do with Topuria? All right, great. So Topuria stays out there, though. Just enough. He's just enough. He doesn't brush Sean O'Malley off. He lets the headlines go. He lets the talk go. He gives just enough interviews. He shows up at 300. He gets a great seat. He takes in Max and Gaethje. And he didn't show a true vested interest. Because why should he? They're not fighting at his weight class. What's this got to do with him? But the cameras kept going to him, and he knew the cameras were coming to him. He's a handsome guy. This guy, he pops on camera. He makes little facial expressions, and the commentators got to... The commentators will give a two-minute diatribe on what one of Ilya Topuria's facial expressions meant. The guy, oh, he's great. Topuria is great. So, Max follows through with what he told everybody leading in to the BMF fight. That he's going to beat Justin Gaethje and he's going to go back down to 145. That this will make him a number one contender. But forget about Islam. Going back to 45. Now, he has no grievance with Topuria. There is no beef there. Max has an issue with featherweight. He didn't want to leave that division and go win a belt somewhere else. While having success elsewhere, looking as though he couldn't have success here at home. And I understand that. I just understand that. I was an 85-pounder. I moved it to 205-pounder, but it wasn't the same. It was as though you're fleeing. I get it. But Topuria tells him, you finally have something that I want. You now have a belt. Okay. So If you're going to come down here, I'm going to put my belt up. You're going to do the same. The end. Or I'm going to turn to Ortega, who hasn't failed three times against the guy I just knocked down. Now, I'm paraphrasing there. I'm not quoting, but I'm damn close. And now it's Max's move. Max goes on Joe Rogan. And Max agrees to those terms. Now, guys, for the smart marks and the cheap seats, please don't think you need to correct me to let me know that that's not how this is done, right? That Topuria doesn't tell Max to put it up and Max doesn't agree and Joe Rogan makes the fight. I get it. But stay on the talking side of this, because that's all we're at. Stay on this narrative. This is interesting to me. And the question now, see, Topuria played this beautifully. He paid it beautifully, and the payoff to the proof that he played it beautiful is he got his way. That is the empirical evidence to find out, right? Everything is hindsight. You make your move, and it's hindsight. Because Max went on the biggest program in the world to make the fight. Oh, and by the way, agreed to his terms. Means Topuria did it right. But I would like to see something different. See, I feel that the UFC and Dana White have a big problem. And that is the BMF got out of the box. I don't think they meant for it to. The BMF is coveted with the boys. I think you, the fans, are getting into it. I think we have proof that you, the fans, are getting into it. From the two times it was contested, right? First ever Madison Square Garden, absolute sellout, biggest star in Hollywood, leader of the free world. To the last time that it was contested at 300, which turned out to be the people's main event. I get the one in between in Salt Lake, and I'm just sharing for you that I think, and I'll only know one way, and if Max would do this for me. If Max would say, you know what, Ilya, you've got the 45-pound world championship, and you bring in Brian Ortega. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm coming home. I'm coming back to 45, but I'm going to put up my championship. And I, too, am going to offer it to Brian Ortega. So now Brian Ortega is going to choose publicly, and he is going to let the world know which of these two belts is more coveted, yours or mine. I'm coming home. I'm coming to 45, and I'm not coming to you. You invoked Ortega. I invoked the same. Stand back and let the chips fall. I would like that. I'm not going to get it. I would like that because you know what? I think the BMF belt wins. So the Ultimate Fighting Championship is the ultimate spectator sport. Can we agree on that? Can we agree that the BMF Championship is the ultimate spectator championship? Now, I will admit, I've stolen a little bit of that philosophy from Daniel Cormier. And Daniel was quick to point out the guys who have fought for the BMF belt, but also the guys that qualify to be in the category of BMF, right? So what Daniel's point was is that when you have and in this case, I'm talking about Max right now, so I'm going to talk about Topuria and talk about the featherweight championship. When you have a featherweight championship, which is explicitly the weight class followed by championship, by example, the BMF does not fall into that. You could change weight classes like Max did. You could take it to 159.25 pounds if you wanted to. There's not a specific rule. Oh, by the way, you don't have to take guys that have a 95%+ win-loss record. You can take some rough and tumble mother. You could, Cub Swanson is one of the ultimate BMFs in the entire organization. I don't know what his record is. I don't know what Connor's record is. I don't know what either Diaz's record is, right? I mean, you understand the difference, right? And while John Jones is a BMF, he's not going to be fighting for the BMF. But do we understand? I bring that to you because I feel as though the BMF in many ways has outgrown what it was intended to do. When we found out about the BMF, guys, Dana White, who never speaks insecurely. I've seen Dana White take over a stage with Anthony Robbins, who is the highest paid speaker on stage in the world. And Dana was very humble when he talked about presenting the idea of a BMF in the war room. So on Tuesdays at 9 a.m., Dana, Hunter, Mick, and Sean go into a room. It's called the War Room. And Dana presented this idea, and he says that when he presented the BMF idea, he was expecting, this was supposed to be like, they were throwing things at the wall. This was supposed to, Dana was going to kick off a brainstorming session. He knew they weren't going to do that. But he was going to present it to get flowing in this type of direction that ate it up. So then after he used that as his focus group and he took that to the public, it went insane. I mean, ESPN didn't think that they could cover it. ESPN is owned by Disney, okay? No, they don't use four-letter words over there, but they also don't faint them. They don't faint that they're not going to say BMF. They're not going to say that on the air. Oh, my God. The host couldn't stop saying it. They loved it. From Stephen A. on down, they went crazy for this. They couldn't say it enough. And I only share that with you. Like, here we are in Olympic year. And the Olympics are very special. Now, if you guys are amateur fans, then you'll know this. But most of you are not amateur fans, and maybe I'm teaching you something. But every single year, the same tournament is held. They call it the World Championship, but it is all of Earth. And every sport gets contested. They call it a World Championship. And they do it every single year. But on the fourth year, that same tournament, but they call it the Olympics. Every 4 years, they call it the Olympics. Now, it's the same tournament which will crown a champion of the entire globe. It's a big deal, right? But the Olympics are very different than the World Championship, aren't they? In fact, if you won a World Championship or you won five World Championships, but you also won an Olympics, you will never mention those five World Championships. If you get to say one thing about yourself, you will say, I am an Olympic champion. You will not even say, I'm a five-time world champion. You won't even mention it. Why? Well, it's just rarer. It's very simple. It's just rarer. That's it. But we understand that concept. And that is where the BMF comes in. And we're in such a unique position. See, George Masvidal was such an awesome... I'm mad at George. By the way, I'm going to whip George's ass. But I got to tell the story the way that it happened. And George Masvidal was such a great representative. He was an advocate for his belt. He took it everywhere he went. He lost a fight, but he didn't put the belt up. He wasn't ashamed at all. He brought the belt. And he should have. And he put that belt over, and he built it up. And he let us know what it was about. Even when he got into the cage and had to put that on Gaethje, and Gaethje and Masvidal had their own beef at that time, but it was the right thing. And he passed that torch. And when he passed it to Gaethje, Gaethje did not have the same respect for it as George did. He didn't. Gaethje never talked about it. He never talked about defending it. He didn't have an honor. He didn't have a huge pride in it. He was laser focused on the 55-pound title. And we don't begrudge Justin for that, right? But I'm just sharing for you, I think Gaethje missed it. And because Gaethje missed it and because it wasn't ultra-ly important to him, when Max took it from him, I don't think Max got the high on a personal level that he deserved. I could go to Google right now. I could pull up interviews. They're hard, but I could find them where Max, when he was a champion at 45, has the belt present with him doing the interviews. I haven't seen a picture yet of Max with the BMF. I'm sure they're out there. I haven't seen it. I was there live. I don't remember that. I don't remember Max having that belt. I mean, in my mind, he got it and he handed it off to somebody else and started calling out Topuria and going for that. Now, Topuria is smart enough to know what time it is. And this is my opinion. This is just my opinion, right? So I think there's a way to decide it, though. I don't think we have to go to you guys. I don't think now I'm going to put a poll up on my community page right now. It's just going to ask you guys, which do you view as more coveted? A divisional title or a BMF title? But I think there is a way to find out which is Max comes back to 45, and Max offers Ortega the same thing that Ilya Topuria would have to offer Ortega, who we can all agree is the top contender. And Ortega's not going to come out and fight for it, by the way, but he's got a good argument. He's got a simple argument of saying, hey, Max, you don't get to cut the line down here by winning up there. You do not get to win at 155 pounds, no matter how impressive you feel it was, and come back and carry that with you at 45. Now, whether that's going to win the day or not, it's an argument, and Ortega's not going to make it. Ortega's too respectful, and he would view that as disrespectful. I don't agree with him, but that's how he would see it. If Max comes back to 45 and says, I'm going to put the belt up, Topuria's at 45, he has to put the belt up, and we turn it to Ortega. Ortega could single-handedly close the book on this argument by letting us know which belt he's choosing to contest. And in many ways, for what the BMF represents, of which Ortega qualifies in spades, Ilya Topuria does not. Because Ilya Topuria is undefeated. The same reason George St. Pierre couldn't have fought for it. Same reason Khabib couldn't have fought for it. Same reason John Jones can't fight for it. The BMF is something else. It's something different. And I do think that there's a way we could close this chapter. I think there's one guy, if we put him to the test right now, that could let us all know who the boys in the back, who the locker room, which belt they feel is more coveted. There's only one way to do it, which is to keep Topuria and Max away from each other, bring Max back down, and let Ortega decide. Well, son of a buck, he did it again. Mike Perry, I mean, what is going on there? It is one of the most interesting stories in sports. Truly, and it's Olympic year. I mean, you not only have all the pros that you're used to, you now have an entire other crop of athletes known as the amateurs in every sport in the world, and Mike Perry is one of the most interesting studies. Truly. Like, if you think you know the Mike Perry story, I mean, let me just give you an example. If you think you know the Mike Perry story, and you think you know Perry just like you know any of the top guys, I mean, throw in the other champions, throw in the other faces of combat organizations. I don't care how you want to do it. You go to Aaron Brooks. You go to Mason Paris. You go to Gordon Ryan. You go to Canelo Alvarez. What do you want to do? Keep throwing them at me. You want to go to Michael Chandler. You want to go to Max Holloway. Who are the big names right now? Who are the headliners of these organizations? You will know where they live. Sure you would. In fact, we can narrow it down from there. You would know what gym they're at. In fact, let's do a little bit better. You would know who their coaches are. Every one of them. You couldn't tell me any of the three on Mike Perry. You couldn't. You will have these stories, these come from behind, these comeback kids, the guy that was one decision away from living on the streets, and they're going to be featured, they're going to be put on Peacock, and they're going to be put on NBC, and Nike's going to get behind them. They're all going to be true, and they're all going to revolve around a medal of gold, silver, or bronze in the pursuit thereof for the Olympic Games, just by example. And that guy that was living in his car or was one decision away from it is going to have a very specific story of a very specific diet that he began to follow, of a specific awakening that he had, of a spiritual moment, of a new coach that he latched onto that showed him a way and adjusted and tweaked him. You're going to have none of those from Mike Perry. None. He's not even going to try to fool you. He's not going to try to make any of it up. And amongst all the fascinating things that are going around this guy, I mean, George St. Pierre needed 25 minutes and three judges to beat Alves. Mike Perry needed one hook I mean, if you understood fully what he's doing, the part about the training and the gym and the preparation and the custom model type character that's the man behind the man is possibly more relevant in that sport where you are looking to crush your opponent. There is no scoring points. There is no, oh, the jab, right? I mean, you always hear that. Any boxer that's ever came into MMA, just by example, always going to work around, you got to show them the jab. The jab controls the fight. I appreciate those things. I'm not teasing those guys. I'm just sure that's very different concept when you have a 12-ounce glove on. When you have a 4-ounce glove on, there is no fight that's controlled with a jab. And every time a boxing guy comes to MMA, he looks around there and goes, man, you guys don't know a jab. Let me start a jab. Let me show him a jab. I'll change their fight. It's not that they haven't learned the jab. They've just learned the risk of the jab, the risk of standing that close and throwing a pitter-pat, feel-you-out punch does not outweigh, boom, boom, and putting a guy down. Okay? And that's when you come from the big gloves to the MMA gloves. Mike Perry has no gloves. So I'm doing my best here in words to illustrate for anybody that hasn't tried that kind of environment. And you can do it right now. You can set your phone for 1 minute and just stand up right where you are and just shadowbox for 1 minute. You will feel a level of exhaustion where your heart's going to come out of your chest. It'll take you 5 and 6 minutes to recover if you've never done it before. So when you go into a situation like that, which is the exclusive environment that Mike Perry is in, oh, by the way, at the end of the night, oh, by the way, as the star in the face with everything to lose. He can't go any further. He's number one. He can't go any... He can go that way. And when you go into that, to explain the level of conditioning that you must have just to protect yourself. But I can't tell you who's training him. I can't tell you where he's training. I can't tell you that he's in seclusion and he's at altitude and he's following a special diet and he's working tomatoes and he's getting his hemoglobin and his hematocrit up. Can't tell you any of these things. And I don't think it's because the story's staying quiet. I'm not convinced he's doing them. I'm not convinced Perry is doing them. There's something else at play here. He is possibly the most dominant athlete of any sport right now. It is a fascinating story. He just put down the guy that George St. Pierre needed 3 judges in 25 minutes to put down. I mean, that just happened. I could run back for Alvarez. I could run back to Rockhall. I mean, I can keep on playing this game. I'm only going back as recently as Saturday. And then you get a big announcement. McGregor Sports Entertainment's getting involved. There's nobody that's going to outwork Dave Feldman. And by the way, there's not one production aspect that he could do better. It is a beautiful show. It is beautifully ran and always has been. Even when times were tough, he never sacrificed on production. And it's just a very interesting situation. What is it that Connor sees? Just by example. Is he betting on the product? Is he betting on the jockey? Dave Feldman's a good bet. He'll protect your money. He'll work his ass off to do it. Or is Connor betting on the face of the company? Most likely, it's a combination of all three. But any way you look at it, it is a tremendous compliment to Mike Perry. UFC 301 this Saturday in Rio. Could it get any better? It sure can when you get in on the action over at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC. It's an insane card with the flyweight title on the line in the main event. Visit the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now for available lines and odds for UFC 301. New to DraftKings? Check this out. New customers, bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code CHAIL. That's code CHAIL for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. May the 4th be with you on Fight Night at DraftKings. The crown is yours. Summer is coming up, and that might mean that you're going to have a little more time on your hands. Why not use it to learn a new language? Rosetta Stone, the most trusted language learning program that truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, is here to help you. Some of you may be traveling abroad this summer, and you might want to experience that country beyond just the touristy type spots. Your experience could be upgraded just by learning the native language. Now you can download the Rosetta Stone app to your phone or tablet and learn on the go while driving, riding on the subway, running on a treadmill, or even laying poolside with just a 10-minute lesson per day. Rosetta Stone's lessons are designed for long-term retention of language skills rather than short-term memorization. The focus of the program is preparing you for real, authentic conversations, not just knowing a couple of translations. It's like having your own personal trainer for language learning. Rosetta Stone has been used by millions of people for over 3 decades. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started for a limited time. My listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off. Unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. That's a steal. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, guys, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly on to you. I haven't skipped a beat using Mint Mobile services. I have a great service even when I'm traveling for over less than 70% of what I was paying before. Listen to Uncle Chael and say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/chael. That's mintmobile.com/chael. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/chael. $45 upfront payment required. That's equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your first stop for the best in Western style. And by the way, you don't have to be into the Western look to grab a good-looking pair of boots. I recently got a pair of ostrich skin round-tip boots, and I wore them with my suit. These boots are so versatile that I can throw them on with a full head-to-toe suit. And Anthony Smith came right up to me and he's asking me where I got them. Well, I told him the only place to get them, Tecovas. And they have a seasonal limited edition offering. It's right now, this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, accessory, and more. My wife just surprised me with the ostrich wallet and a belt for my birthday, in case you've seen me. I feel like I look pretty sharp in it. I truly do. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary beverage or two, and shop for new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into the store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your favorite pair of boots today. All right, so I got tasked with the world's hardest job. And what that is to tell you what's going down on Saturday and to make you interested in it. Not for nothing, right? This is very tough, but you know what? There's a few things at play. And the destination is wildly important. I feel this at my point in my career now, which is just, I'm a fan, right? But I didn't feel it when I was competing. I never knew anything about it. I had a fight where I was supposed to go to Brazil and they're going to kill me. And what do I think about going to Brazil? It was this whole thing. And man, I don't know anything about it. I don't fight in Brazil. I don't fight in Westland. I fight in the Octagon. I don't know anything about it. I got to get on an airplane. If that airplane takes me 10 hours or 2 hours, what's the difference? Checking into a room. I mean, it's one of these things I personally never understood. I hear there's a big ring. I hear there's a small ring. I hear there's a difference between a cage and the difference between a boxing ring. I've been in a mall. I have the foggiest idea what anybody's talking about. So I don't feel that way now, though. Like as I'm getting older and I'm looking at it, there is something special if you're at T-Mobile. There is something different if you get to go to Fight Island. If you're fighting at the Apex, which is the only venue on Earth that was built for fighting. Aside from a Roman Colosseum, there is literally no building on Earth that they made for fighting. So, Madison Square Garden, right? I got a different value on it. Now, but let's take a look at where they're going here. And they're going to Rio. Pantoja won the day. Now, I have heard Pantoja do 4 interviews in Pantoja's career. In all 4 of the interviews that I heard, he asked Dana to be able to fight in Brazil. So when you look at it, you say, okay, Pantoja won the day. Pantoja's not the biggest star. This isn't a perennial weight class of 125. It's not a common weight class to be headlining pay-per-view. You're within your limits there. Go right ahead. Go right ahead and say that. Usyk is ranked number 10. Now, Usyk, to quote the great Stone Cold Steve Austin, stomped a mud hole in number 7, but fine. Okay. So, how did we get here? Well, let's start with Pantoja asking for it and getting what he asked for. Let's start with the fact that Pantoja fought for the right to headline this card, and he was met with resistance in the form of Alex Pereira. And Pantoja beat him. Pantoja took on Pereira in the media and for the ear and the heart of the boss, and Pantoja won. Now, when Pantoja won the belt, okay, things are about to get real weird around here. You guys don't know this, but there is a language barrier and there is a chance that you don't know this. When Pantoja won the belt, in his post-fight interview, he held the belt up and he said, "Am I good enough for you now, Dad?" And his father had left him when he was a little boy, I believe 3 years old. But he left him when he was a little boy. He's never seen him since. I'm not positive he knows what his name is. Dad never came back. So that's some tough stuff. That is some really tough stuff. And Shaq went through this and spoke about it. And Shaq forgave his dad, and that's up to him. I wouldn't. Would not ever want to trade shoes and be in that position, but I just share for you. What happens if the dad shows up at this event? And what happens if he did? I don't want to be a scumbag to Shaq, who's always been nice to me, but I'm saying he made that public, and of course everybody, including myself, wanted, well, did dad come back because he was proud, because he regretted it, because he wanted to make up time, or did he come back because son might be able to write a check? And then you always get into the real weird stuff about when dude comes back and claims he's dad. How many of you ever went down to the, and just to be sure, like you drop a prick of blood and I'll drop a prick of blood. Like, who actually does that? To run a con in my neighborhood would be a very small crime in comparison to leaving your kid. So stay with me on this, because there is no such thing as a home court advantage in fist fighting. There isn't soccer. There isn't football. There isn't baseball. There's not in cage fighting. Everybody around that you've told how tough you are your whole life, everybody around that you've puffed up to in the street, all of a sudden they're coming to find out. They're going to come and see it in person. You're going to take your shirt off and you're either as tough as you said you were or you weren't. They're not going to give any consideration to who your opponent is, or he's a black belt, or he's got twice, or this is a professional. None of those things. You won or you didn't. Oh, and then by the way, all the local media is going to want to talk to you, and they're going to want to know what's going on, and you're going to be pulled in a few different directions. Oh, and then by the way, you're going to get a whole bunch of phone calls. The phone call is going to go something like this. They're never saying, hey, man, can I get a couple of tickets? It will never go like that. It will go, hey, I wanted to get a couple of tickets, and I'm happy to pay for it, but can I just pay you? Like, is that how this works? I don't know. Do you just grab me 5 tickets, and then, you know, when I see you, I can pay you? Like, is that how it works? Like, they pretend that they don't know what Ticketmaster is. And I'm just sharing for you. What would happen if Pantoja was walking to the ring, and there he is? Like, what happens in that type of situation? And don't make any mistake. Dude's coming. Dude's coming back. I don't know if he's going to go to the event, he's going to get in the front row, or he's going to try to distract Junior on the way to the ring. I don't know what he's doing. But the scumbag is coming back at some point. And the guy that comes back, believe me, they're not going down and getting a tension. You're dead. I'm mad at you. Okay, we got to fight. Right? Life's tough. I named you Sue. Like, whatever the story is, it's very tough. It's very tough stuff. I appreciate that Pantoja told it. And Pantoja is the single greatest scrambler that I've ever seen. And I grew up in wrestling. I watched Kyle Dake scramble. I watched Jordan Burroughs scramble. Pantoja is the best scrambler that I've ever seen. And it comes with a level of conditioning that very few humans have. Like, from a scientific standpoint, if you were to take him and test his VO2 max, I guarantee you it's off the charts higher than the average person. And Pantoja wanted it. He left Brazil. Not finding he raised himself. He leaves Brazil. So whatever family has, he goes to Florida to get training. Well, he's getting trained American Top Team. He's got to make ends meet, so he's driving Uber. It was Uber Eats specifically, which is a very honorable job. I'll just share with you, it's very exhausting when you got to get 2 workouts in a day. It's a great story. So before you tell me that there's not something to see on Saturday, I would tell you that perhaps you don't know the story. You don't know what it is you're watching. And I don't think that Pantoja is the only one that should get a hand here. He should definitely get the biggest hand. He's the main event. But we've all grown as human beings. Like, I sit here, I tell you this story. I almost got a tear in my eye, truly. But in my younger day, I would have sat here and I would have told you that I was his father. Coming back, and you know what, guys? These seldomly go well, do they? Now, Jonathan Martinez is no pushover, and I'm gonna kind of brush past him. But I want to preface right now, DraftKings has Martinez as the favorite. Martinez should be the favorite. I view Martinez as a favorite. But the focus is on Jose. And allow me to extend this for the next 5 minutes as you indulge, okay? When you leave a sport, if you were the number one guy and you start coming down, you fall to number five, you are never going to get your spot back. Now, there are exceptions to that. There are exceptions, but then there's a story behind the exception. Like, let me give you two. Lance Armstrong took 7 years off. He comes back. He's number 11 in the world. He ends up reconquering, and it was an awesome thing. And he was a chemically enhanced monstrosity. So you start to find out there's a little bit more to it. But in Lance's defense, he was on top when he left. He wasn't sliding. And that is vastly different. And that's really the part I wanted. I just didn't want to miss the opportunity to call him a chemically enhanced monstrosity. So you then have George Foreman. Now, George Foreman was one of the top guys. But when he left and he came back and he catches and knocks out Michael Moore, I mean, it's one of those situations where though Foreman won and though he became number one again, and he had started to slide previously to retain, he was also losing that fight, and he was losing it handily, and he caught him with a shot, and in a sport like fighting, those types of things can happen. Now, the reason I go down that road with you, when you're scrolling over to DraftKings, you're talking about like here at Jonathan, but you're wanting to celebrate Jose, and you're wanting to know why is he coming back, and you're wanting to know how. And you want to know what his level of fitness is. You want to know what his commitment is. I do want to tell you there's a number of things that are extremely unique about Jose Aldo's return that if you're looking to handicap this thing, you might find some pretty good odds at DraftKings. And number one, this is an easy fight for Jose. Now, Jonathan is not an easy fighter. It's an easy fight. What do I mean? Well, Jose spent his career in the five-round club. The guy was the champion of the world for 11 straight years. When he wasn't the champion of the world, he was on a trajectory back to the championship of the world, even if it was at a different weight class. Three rounds? Not the main event? Not all the pressure? It's a very different situation. In your hometown, not having to do the flight, not having to do the travel, excited, coming back. Now, don't forget, Jose was busy, and Jose was boxing. I watched him take on Jeremy Stevens. I think he had a couple of other fights. I got to see the Stevens fight. He was training and preparing to take on Floyd Mayweather in the Middle East. Whether you guys know that or not, the fact that he was training and he was preparing. See, this is what changes everything. When guys leave a sport, they leave the lifestyle. They get a little more time on their hands. They got a little money in their pocket. Maybe they go out and they sow some of their oats that they didn't do because they were so disciplined before. Well, that's a very different scenario to come back to than being Jose Aldo, who's in the gym constantly, even though you're focused on boxing. Don't forget, he was still in an MMA gym. Jose Aldo, even while doing the boxing. And see, we don't know this. This has never come out. It's never come out if he was training MMA and kind of focused in on boxing a little bit more. Or if, while going to the MMA gym, Andre Pettinaris had broken off a dedicated boxing area and or time. It's very unclear. We know that he's been training. We know that he's been staying active. We know that he's in the gym. And we know that he's in the same gym. And we know that he is with the same coach, Andre Pettinaris. And we've chosen to believe that he got away from MMA, but we don't actually have that evidence. And that is very different. It's a very different scenario. Now, there's other indicators that you will always look at if you're ever trying to handicap a fight. And very often, you will know who the promotion believes is going to win. And that can be a big clue. Now, the promotion gets it wrong quite often, but they would be the biggest experts in the room. Can we agree? And like, just for example, you want to go over to DraftKings, every now and then they'll take odds. They've had WrestleMania before. So now, and they'll limit your bet to $500, but now you're fully going with who do we predict as the viewer that the office wants to win. It's a very interesting thing. Jose Aldo revealed a very interesting clue. He said that he does not have a new contract, that he is just finishing out his original contract, that he had one fight left on his original contract, that he was not given an extension. Now, that would be a clue. If he didn't get an extension offer, that the promotion does not believe he's going to win. But how accurate do you think that is? How many guys on their way out, how many guys on their last fight fought on a main card of a pay-per-view at home? Go ahead, I'll wait. You're going to have a real hard time coming up with an answer. So it's an interesting spot, and it's an interesting matchup. And I just feel like nobody fully knows. And I predict for you this as well. The line at DraftKings will move between Friday and Saturday. Why? Because of the weigh-in. A picture is worth a thousand words. And when they face them off, we're going to have our answer on Jose Aldo and his level of fitness. It's going to come right then. And we're going to start hearing reports from the gym. You guys remember 1 week ago with Ryan Garcia? Where his team started turning on him, saying he was drunk all the time, and he was smoking dope, and he misses weight, and the whole team turns on him, and the whole line moves. And then allegedly Garcia used that and bet on himself. He did not. This is the story. He did not bet on himself. But I'm sharing with you, like, allegedly, and the way that all these things fall into place, like, there is a number of questions out there on Jose Aldo. And they all seem to be pointing towards the positive. They all seem to be pointing in a direction that he is about to come in and storm and blindside some people as a sandbagger. And I'm starting to lean in that direction and feel it myself. And when I go over to DraftKings and I see that Martinez is the favorite, I'm almost waiting. In many ways, I'm waiting. And I do think that that line is going to move. The only question is which way, right? There is something going on, and I can't tell it for you. Daniel Cormier started to tell it to me. But I must admit, I didn't fully grasp it. Which has to do with Jose Aldo when he went to boxing and believed that his career in MMA was done. There was a testing agency known as USADA. USADA, in the meanwhile, no relation to Jose in his career, but is out, new company is in. And there has always been a debate on how long a returning athlete has to be in the pool, which is very relevant that you know, because a first-time athlete doesn't have to be in it at all. And I only suggest for you that we have to watch guys like this that come back, that come on short notice, that are a surprise fight, that are a fight that you didn't know about. It's a location fight, meaning they're in a specific area. It's a return fight. It's a last time fight. We have to pay attention to these as a way of learning the rules. And I think that we're getting exposed to a potentially new policy here, which would be pretty cool. Something else that we're going to keep our eye on. More of that to come. DraftKings right now has got Jonathan Martinez, a solid favorite. He is a solid favorite. But I would ask you to ask yourself something. Do you think Jose is going to win? All right, great. Stop right there. If he wins, how? And if you believe he wins and he has to stop him, and you could predict the round, you're going to like those odds at DraftKings. Go check them out right now. All right, DraftKings, right now, what do you think? Before I tell you, let me bury my lead here. What do you think the odds are? Paul versus Tyson. Now, just in case you had these a week ago, there is news, which is the commission has reversed its decision. It has made its final decision, and it will sanction this as a fight. I mean, it just means it goes on everybody's records, but it means we're playing for keeps now. There's no more games. And there was a bit of a game before, prior to the commission. I mean, right, guys, make sure you understand. Oh, and by the way, Paul's the favorite. Minus 360 to plus 300 for Mike Tyson. That's at DraftKings right this second. And those are very unusual odds, by the way. As close as that might sound to even, with Paul being a slight favorite, that's very unusual to be even in the threes. You're generally even in the ones. 110, 115, 125, 130, things like this. It's very unusual. And you know what? I can't disagree with it. And I also can't back it up. I have the foggiest idea. But it does change things. In case you're wondering why those odds sound very different than what you looked up last week, that's the news you might have missed. The commission is sanctioned. Now, why does that matter? Well, guys, there's a whole story on that. There is nowhere in the free world. That's a powerful statement, but it's a true statement. Only communist regimes have government that oversees sport. When the U.S. went into Iraq, one of the very first things they did that made the news is they freed the soccer team. This is not a joke. Now, I tell you that because in a capitalistic culture, only combat is overseen. In the United States, the only sport that the government oversees is combat. And you know what? We need them to. We asked them to. They didn't just step in and bully their way into it. We had lobbied them back in the 60s. And one of the reasons this became so important is because gaming was such an opportunity in some of the fight capitals of the world. Think of Atlantic City. Think of Las Vegas, Nevada. So if you're gaming on anything, it's got to be done correctly. It's got to be above board. And it most certainly was not. You had dives and you had fixes and whether the athletes had agreed to go down in a certain round so that the mafia that was running it could cash in, or you couldn't get one of the fighters to give in. You couldn't even blackmail one of the fighters, so you just went around them and right to the judges and or the referee, right? I mean, it's just one of these situations where something needed to be done. And the reason that we went to the government and asked them to regulate it, because if we didn't do that, it was just going to be gone. And I share that with you. Because if you're wondering why DraftKings is getting bullish and having odds like this, guys, prior to the commission sanctioning it, listen, not for nothing, we didn't know what would happen. Mike Tyson or Roy Jones fought. And when you found out the commission was not going to be sanctioning that, Stevie Wonder could see that fight was going to end in a draw. Right now, whether the fix was in and that was agreed to ahead of time, as I believe, it doesn't make a bit of difference. It could purely be a coincidence, and that is exactly how the judges saw it. It doesn't make a bit of difference. If it appears this way, right? If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's a very fine line. So when these two, right, Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, this caught us out of nowhere. And this was a very hard one to accept because Mike Tyson had turned down some very big money. Like when people wanted to jump in and just go, oh, it was all for the money. You don't really know what you're talking about. He's a prize fighter. Like we understand that, but it's not just for the money or he wouldn't be training. Not just for the money or he wouldn't be getting licensed. And not just for the money, because I know of two places he could have done better. So I'm just sharing for you. As this fight started to approach and we find out that it wasn't for the money, as much as you want to say it is, I'm sharing with you, it wasn't. Well, then you have the question, well, what is it for? And Jake Paul very clearly was getting off that trajectory. He was listening to you guys. He was going to start taking on some younger, active boxers, appeasing to the audience. So, prior to a commission, and it wouldn't matter if this was a straight up to the death fisticuffs, if it gives the appearance that it's not, you have a problem. And now that we have, there's no appearance. This is hard and fast. The Texas State Athletic Commission will be overseeing. They're fighting, guys. Don't even start going down that road if they're not. And I didn't blame any of you, and I didn't scold any of you as recently as 1 week ago. Because you would have been very wise, exactly like Mike and Roy, you've been very wise to bet that fight was going to end in a draw. And there's things that happen that you don't ever know about. Like, let me give you a great example. when Tyson Fury fought Francis Ngannou, and perhaps I should insert Mike Tyson all the way back in the very late 80s and the early 90s, but he was getting guys out of there so quickly, 90s to mid-90s rather, not 80s on this, is when he was released. He was getting guys out of there so quickly that the president of DirecTV, of Time Warner, and Don King in conjunction had to come out and tell the world, if Mike stops this guy in the first round, I'll give you half your money back on the pay-per-view. So you can actually run into a problem on mismatches. You can run into a problem when you're attempting to fill a show and you don't know how long it's going to go, which is one of the things that combat uniquely can bite you in the ass for. Like football, you got a pretty good guess. Got a pretty good guess on what those quarters are going to be and how much is scheduled and what your halftime's looking like. I'll give you a great example in fighting, though. I mean, just let you in on the business side of it. Fox, Cain Velasquez, Junior Dos Santos, part one. It was the only fight. The one and only, if this is Dana's first shot, boom, he's in. He's going from fringe sport to mainstream. It's right here, but he doesn't have a card. He has one fight. So he puts on the biggest one he can, the heavyweight world championship. Wham! Junior Dos Santos. 61 seconds later, we are done. Which doesn't just mean the fight's done. It means the show is now over. But the show wasn't planned to be over. So now you have what is called fill. And this is a nightmare. But it's the risk you run when you're doing live sport. Now, I tell you that to give you a little bit of backstory, that there is a little bit of a reason why perhaps this was put into the contract. But what I'm referencing is Tyson Fury versus Francis Ngannou. And it was in Tyson's contract, and I believe it was $1 million. I saw the exact verbiage. I think it was $1 million per round. Tyson Fury was incentivized to go more rounds, to the tune of $1 million for each time a bell rang. Now, I watched that fight. I thought it was an excellent contest. I thought Francis Ngannou put on what I personally have had the privilege to witness, the single greatest upset in sports history. And I understand that he lost. Going out and competing to that degree and that close represented the biggest upset that I had personally ever seen. But when you find out about the contract that Fury was incentivized to let that fight keep going, it creates a problem. It creates a massive problem, and it stinks. And I only bring that to you because DraftKings was watching and DraftKings was listening. And you are not going to see odds like this. You have never seen DraftKings have a fight so close that's in the threes. A minus 360 to a plus 300. Prove me wrong. Show me one. Go ahead and show me one. You have Jake Paul, who is active, who is fit, who is not looking to do this one time like checkers and sail it in. He's playing chess. He's out there multiple times. But he's also underexperienced and undersized. And make no mistake about it, it doesn't matter what prime of your life you're in. When you're competing with a guy that when you were a little boy, you had his picture on your wall and wanted to be like him, it creates a problem. It just creates a psychological problem. And Paul is currently the favorite, but it's tight. And when you talk about guys getting older, there's a lot of misconceptions. You'll hear a number of people in our sport tell you, well, the last thing to go is our power. I don't know why they say that. I honestly don't know why they say that. It's stupid for one. It's not true. But let's talk about some of the first things to go, which is your reaction, which is your ability to train, your ability to prepare. You just can't put the same miles in. You can't put the same rounds in. And so what does that do? What does that do, guys? Real obvious. Just affects your conditioning. You just can't go as hard as long, obviously. Well, they made these two-minute rounds. To my understanding, it's 8 two-minute rounds with a one-minute rest. All of a sudden, conditioning isn't as much a factor. Now, it's not eliminated, and two-minute rounds is what Mike did when he took on Roy. In my mind, I thought it was 6. I'm being told by the crew it was 8. I haven't looked it up. My point is the same as Mike was completely exhausted. So it's not as though you're taking that out completely. But a combat athlete's biggest fear is exhaustion. So if you're a guy like Mike Tyson, right, and it's the same situation that Conor McGregor's going into with Michael Chandler, I can't go to a decision and win, and I don't give a damn about moral victories. I'm going to give you everything I got, and I'm going to get you out of here, or I'm going to be done. I'm going to be shot. It makes for a very interesting match. When DraftKings gives and nudges Jake Paul, slight favor over a greatly experienced and oversized Mike Tyson. I mean, Mike does not want to lose. Jake cannot lose. Mike's reputation, everything, so on and so forth, is going to change. Jake's career comes to a screeching halt, at least in terms of his trajectory where he's trying to get to Canelo. It comes to a halt. It's a very fascinating situation. DraftKings, I call that even. Negative 360 to plus 300, I call that even. I know that it's not literally. John Anik doesn't like it. He doesn't think I should word it that way when it's not quite close enough. But those are odds you're not going to see anywhere else. They're odds I can't recall anywhere else. And you know what? I actually don't disagree with them. Do you? All right, everybody. That's it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. And a shout-out goes to DZ, who left me a very nice review on Apple Podcasts, which says, Uncle Chael, this is the best MMA podcast that there ever will be. Well, thank you, DZ. I appreciate your comments, and I implore the rest of you to follow DZ's lead. I'll talk to y'all on Friday. Until then, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.